Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 8, and then secondly back to Psalm 93. I trust that you'll be prayerful this morning as I try to preach. I felt a burden on my heart to try to leave you with some words of comfort and some words of encouragement before we have to dismiss our services. And so I hope today that I can be a means of encouragement to all of you. And bear in mind now, I've not forgotten that we were studying in the book of Jude, and I've been working on that, and maybe when I get back home, we'll do some more preaching out of the epistle of Jude. But for today, this is what I felt most on my heart. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and verse number 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And he came, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. My, my, what great scripture. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. If the Lord would stand by me today, I would like to try to preach what I'm calling He Who Steals the Storm. He Who Steals the Storm. I want to cause you to understand with me today, and this was very intriguing to me when I realized that Psalm 95 is the first of five theocratic psalms. And of course you understand that the word theocracy means God governed and God ruled. But Psalm 95 through Psalm 100 are five theocratic psalms. And by that I mean the writer gives praise and gives glory to the God that rules and reigns Israel. When the children of Israel rejected Samuel, they rejected a theocracy and they went to a monarchy. They are three different types of government as opposed to a democratic. There is a theocratic, there is an autocratic, and a monarchic, and then as well as democratic. Now, when you consider an autocratic, it means a strong man or a dictator that comes in and takes control of a government or a group of people. And then a monarchic government is that where there is a ruling family. There is a ruling family in a nation, and all the people are subservient and submissive to them, such as in the British Isles, in the country of England. And then there is a democratic, which is a government that is ruled by people. So in regard to an autocratic, you have a government that is ruled by a man. In a monarchy, you have a government that is ruled by a family. In a democratic, you have a family of government that is ruled by a people, but in a theocracy, you have a government that is ruled by God. And that's what it was during the times from up to Samuel, of where God chose judges and they ruled the people. But the children of Israel, they looked to the heathen lands and they looked to the heathen nations, and they seen that they had kings, and they come to Samuel and they said, "We want one. We want a king." My friend, there's always a grave danger when the people of God desire to be like the world. Can you say amen? And the Bible said that God come to Samuel and spoke to him and said, "Samuel, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me." May I say to you that any time we reject God's plan, when any time we reject God's provision, when any time we reject God's person, we are not simply rejecting that purpose. We are not only rejecting that plan. We are not only rejecting that person. We are rejecting God. Will you say amen? It's not a small thing when we reject what God has provided for us. And so you will understand, of course, in Jewish history that they had rejected the plan of God. They had rejected the provision of God. They had rejected the person that God had put over them. And because of that, God gave them what they wanted. He gave them a king. And He caused them to follow after that king. But that king led them into idolatry. That king led them into bondage. That king led them into servitude. How many of you will agree with me that any time we go against God's plan, we're going into sin slavery? Anytime we go against what God has prescribed for His people, we're only asking for heartache and trouble in the long run. And so God anoints this penman here to write these five psalms, that they rejoice and they magnify and they give praise to the God that reigned all over the universe, that reigned in the heavens, that reigned over everything that was made. Yes, they may have rejected God. They may have rejected His rulership. They may have rejected, and they did not give Him right in their lives. But the psalmist declares, "The Lord reigneth." There are three things I want you to see in this psalm, and hold on to Luke chapter 8. We'll get there in a minute. But this Psalm 93 explains to us that the times are held by God's hand. And also, this psalm tells us that the tempest is hushed by Him. And then last of all, it tells us that the temple is holy to the Lord. I want you to look at these verses of Scripture with me here today. And I want you to understand that God has got the times held in His hand. The times are held by His hand. You see, when you read this psalm and you understand the history of why the psalmist wrote this, you understand that the nation is in upheaval. There is no peace. There is social unrest. Amen. And that pretty well describes America today, doesn't it? There is such social upheaval. There is such unrest among people. Amen. There is such turbulence in the Middle East. And we constantly pick up the paper and we listen to the news and we hear all of these things that are going on. But isn't it wonderful to know that God has got everything in His hand? I turned today to Proverbs 21 and 1, and I read that verse of Scripture again today, and I said, thank God for that. Proverbs 21 and 1 declares that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. Isn't it great to be able to look at this Psalm 93 and 1? The Lord reigneth, great God of heaven. He's got everything under control. Kings bow down before Him. Nations rise, but nations fall. Amen. Kingdoms come up, but kingdoms tumble down. Amen. All of the things that we see happening in our modern day society. Amen. Isn't it great to know? Isn't it great to come back to the foundation of Scripture? Isn't it great to come back to the Word of God? The Lord reigneth. Amen. God is still on the throne. The times are in His hands. In other words, God's got it all under control. When you consider that the times are in God's hand and God is at work in the affairs of men, and that's great to know, isn't it? Amen. As the poet said, sometimes it seems that wrong is forever on the throne and right remains on the scaffold to be hung, if you will. But somewhere in the dim unknown standeth God alone, keeping watch over His own. The Lord reigneth. God is in the affairs of men. I want you to rest on that today. I want you to be assured of that this morning. God is in the affairs of men, providentially. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be called in, to be called into the image of His Son. Isn't it great to know that God has got everything under control? And providentially, God works in the affairs of men. And God takes bad and He makes it good. God takes unfortunate and He works it out on our behalf. It did not seem a good thing for Joseph to be put into a pit. It did not seem a good thing for Joseph to be sold into slavery. It did not seem a good thing for Joseph to be put into prison. Oh, but when there was a famine in Canaan, there was corn in Egypt, and God had prepared Joseph already. Isn't it great to know that God works providentially in the affairs of men, and the Lord reigneth. He's on His throne. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan, and He will provide for you, and all things work together for good. Somehow or another, we can't see the good of it, but God is still working on our behalf. Amen. Prophetically, God is at work in men's lives. The times are in His hands. You see, it's a great miracle. It's a great miracle when you can look at something after you've went through it. And you look back and you say, God was in that. Providentially. You look back, God worked that out. God took care of that. The Lord reigneth. My times are in His hands. He, all the while, unknowing to me, me unaware, God was working in that prophetically. Think of that now. How about that? Providentially, I look back and I see that God is at work. That's a miracle. But now you'll choke on this if you're not careful. Prophetically, by faith, I must look ahead and I must believe that God is at work. You see, there are many things in the Bible, such as I mentioned the story of Joseph. I always say, what a wonderful story. It worked out great. But think about the things in the Bible that God foretold. And God prophesied long before that it was going to happen just that way. Amen. You can't make it happen. I can't make it happen. But God made it happen. Because He said it was going to happen just that way. Illustration, Galatians 4 and 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hallelujah. Prophetically declared, prophetically foretold, God is going to send a son. But when will God send that son? He will not send that son until the fullness of time was come. Glory to God. Amen. For the Lord shall give you a sign, great God of heaven. A virgin shall conceive. Woo! Foretold hundreds of years before. Amen. And it was going to happen just like God
said because God prophesied. Amen. Prophetically, he foretold that it would happen. Would you shout amen? From the very time that our first parents failed God in Eden's garden, and God looked to the woman and told her that the serpent, amen, would bruise the head, the heel of her seed, amen, but that seed would bruise the head of the serpent. That was the very first messianic prophecy. And down through the years, amen, that prophecy was foretold over and over and over and over. Amen. Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Amen. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. And the prophet also said, amen, in that day there shall be opened in the house of David a fountain for the cleansing of sin. Amen. All through the Old Testament, God prophesied, amen, that it would happen. I tell you, God works providentially in the times and the affairs of men, but God works prophetically. He looks down the road and he foretells what he's going to do, and he does exactly what he says he's going to do. Will you shout amen? Glory to God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 93, they affirm two things to us, and that is the full sovereignty of God. The full sovereignty of God. Ecclesiastes 8 and 4, where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Have you ever been caught as a child with your hand in the cookie jar? Have you ever been caught doing something you had no business doing? And you're just as quiet and still as you can be. And then suddenly, Dad says, what are you doing, boy? Huh? Makes your heart jump right out your mouth, don't it? Amen. What are you doing? I want to tell you, God does exactly what he wants to, and nobody asks him, what is he doing? Come on here now. He don't have to answer to nobody. He is not accountable to anyone. He is king and he is Lord. He is clothed with might. He is clothed with majesty. Amen. You see, he's king and he's king of all. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 93, they affirm the full sovereignty of God. The Lord reigneth. But watch this. The last part of verse number 1. Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also established, that it cannot be moved. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me the firm stability of the earth. God put it right where he wanted it, and it's been right there ever since. I want to tell you that God's word is able to take care of you. By his word, he spoke this earth into existence. By his word, the stars are made to shine. By his word, he created all living, breathing, animate things. Would you say amen? It's by his word that all things are done. It is by him all things were made. And without him was not anything made that was made. And it's by him all things consist. He is all in all. He's everything. Amen. He's the fullness thereof. He's the sum and the substance. He's the circumference and the center. He's the diameter and the distance. He's the center. He's the outside. He's the inside. He's above and below. He's all around. I said, God is all powerful, and he's got everything under control. I like that old song we used to sing when we was little kids. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the little bitty baby in his hand. I like this best. He's got me and you, brother, in his hand. And when you go to Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and divers manners, amen, spoke to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Verse 2 escapes me, but verse number 3, The writer in Hebrews affirms and says of God upholding all things by the word of His power.
Great God of heaven.
Amen. You take a 5-pound sack of flour and hold it up here. And you're going to hold it for just a little while. And you're going to get tired. You can extend your arm and hold it there for a while. But after a while, you're not even going to be able to sustain the weight of your own limb. But can I tell you, by the word of His power, by His very word, He upholds all things. He upholds the mountains that He built up. He upholds the seas that He dug out. Amen. He upholds all of humanity that He made. Every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, every acre of corn. Would you help me while I preach? Everything He ever made, I said He upholds every bit of it by the word of His power. Because He's got power like no power. He's got greater power than any power. The Lord reigneth. I said the Lord reigneth. He's holy. He's high. He's great. He's mighty. I said the Lord, He reigneth.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. The times are helped by Him. We sometimes say, when we are in doubt of something, give it time. Just give it time. And we shall see how it works out. May I say to you that time is on God's side. He's got all eternity. Hallelujah. Verse 2, thy throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting. They are dynasties that have reigned for generations. They are families who their ancestors have sat on the throne of a nation for literally hundreds of years. But, beloved, I want to tell you that God has been king from the very beginning. Amen. Because, you see, the heaven is His throne, and the earth is His footstool, and the clouds, amen, are but His chariot. Would you say amen? He's a great and a mighty God. And we are so insignificant, and we are so small. Isn't it wonderful to think that with a God as great as He is, with a King as mighty as He is, with a Lord as righteous as He is, with a God as holy and pure as He is, that He's mindful of you and I? Amen. And He's concerned enough about our situation that He gets involved in our affairs. And my times, my time, my short years, my short span of life is in His hands. My good times, amen, and my bad times, my high times, and my low times, my well times, and my sick times, amen, my shouting times, amen, and my crying times, my times are in His hands. Would you help me while I preach? God has got my life in His hand. God has got my life right in the palm of His hand.
Glory to God. Verse number 3 and 4 of this psalm tells us that the tempest is hushed by Him. The nations. Most of the time, when you see water or waters in the Scripture, it is symbolic of humanity. The wicked are like the troubled sea, which cast up their mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. They are like the troubled sea. Amen. In the Revelation, John said, I heard a voice, as it were the voice of many waters. He's not saying water was talking. So many people speaking. It sounded like the roar of the ocean. And so in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 93, when you see here this roar the floods that have lifted up themselves, the voice of the waves, the floods lift up their waves. What is it saying? The voice of the people, the calamity of the people, the social unrest and the hysteria of a nation that has lost their God. Amen. They lift up their voice. In Isaiah 17 and 12, woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and the rushing of the nations like the rushing of many waters. Humanity is in a tempest. Humanity is in a storm. Humanity has reared itself up, and it rages and it roars. It has rose up against Almighty God. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, amen, there's such turmoil and there's such calamity. Amen, it's like the roar of a sea. Have you ever been there? Amen, when it seemed like it was coming in on you from every side. Amen, this one saying that, and that one saying another, and your ears are just filled with a roar. Would you say, man, what was it? The roar of the